just to set it aside. I want to tell you something. A lot of pastors don't have it in their churches. You know that. But I am blessed to be your shepherd. When my shepherd tells me to turn right, you are so willing to turn right. And when my shepherd lays on me and says, Colin, do that again, you are so willing for us to do it again. You are so open and willing to be led by the Holy Spirit. You need to hear it. It's beautiful. There is such a freedom in here to let Him have His agenda. And I want to say, bless you. Bless you. Bless you. You need to hear that. So, Holy Spirit, come have your way. Sons and daughters of God, we're led by the Spirit of God. And I just declare, you and I are led by the Spirit of God. Come and allow the good things of the Father to manifest in our lives and to us and outside of us. Have your way Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. This morning I need to share with you what has been incubating inside of me. And that is looking at the spiritual battle that surrounds our faith, surrounds our belief. And I want to tell you, I have been praying into this because not only is there warfare surrounding our believing, there is warfare surrounding receiving what you are going to receive this week and next week. I know that. I have prayed into that. We have prayed against that, declaring that over these next couple of weeks, as I said at the beginning, there is going to be a shift in our belief, in our faith, especially in these days. I would like you to turn with me, if you would, to the book of Mark, chapter 16. Mark's chapter 16. If you don't have your Bible, just look on with something beside you, because I would like you to set your eyes on this. I would like you to see it. Mark chapter 16. I'm going to begin at verse 9. On resurrection morning, after the Sabbath was over, early in the morning, we know that Mary Magdalene and some of the other women, they went to the tomb to finish preparing Jesus' body for burial. 3 days earlier, in haste, they wrapped Him up, didn't have the anointment, didn't have what they needed to embalm Him, to prepare Him for burial, and so they were going back 3 days later in order to finish it. So the Bible says very early on the Sunday morning, they were going to the tomb, and we know the story so well. We've heard it over and over and over. When they got there, the stone was rolled away. An angel was sitting on top of the stone. Another angel was in the empty tomb. And both of them were telling them, Jesus is not here. He is risen, just like He said He would do. Women are in shock, having a hard time grasping what's going on. Mary turns from inside the tomb. She sees a man thinking he's the gardener. She looks at the gardener and says, Sir, can you tell me where you have taken His body? And she hears those life-changing words. And I just say to you, when you hear the Father speak your name, nothing cares. She turns, and the gardener, who was Jesus, said, Jesus! She goes to Him, she grabs Him, and she believes. He tells her to go back to the disciples and tell them, I'm alive, and so she does. And what does the Bible say? She takes her time walking back to the disciples. She is in no hurry now that she knows the truth. She grabs her coffee and she lollygags. Thank you, Seth. I don't think so. What does she do? She runs back. She can't wait to tell the great news. And when she gets there and goes in and tells the disciples what she saw and who she talked to, what was their response? Listen. Verse 11. When they heard that Jesus was alive and that she had seen Him, they did not believe it. ask you a question. Does that response shock you? We'll get back to that in a moment. You do know that Peter and John, of all the disciples, decided to go to the tomb. Check out Mary's story when they got there. Yeah, the stone was rolled. Yeah, the tomb was empty. Yeah, the grave clothes were all folded up and sitting there. But no Jesus. Later that day, look at verse 12. Later that day, Jesus appeared in a different form. I would love to talk about that sometime. All the forms of the resurrected body. He appeared in a different form to two of them walking in the country. We know this as the Emmaus Road account. Two disciples, not two of the 12, but two likely of the 120, leaving Jerusalem, going to Emmaus. Jesus joins them on the road. He somehow makes it so that they don't recognize him by looking at him or by his voice. And while they're walking, he's talking about all the prophecies in the Old Testament about himself. When they got where they were going, the Bible says he was going to keep on going, but they persuaded him to stay. While they were eating together, what is it? He took some bread, he broke it, and the moment that happened, their eyes were open, and what? They recognized it was him. Alive. Not dead. Sitting with them. This was the Jesus who walked with them on the Emmaus Road. This is the Jesus they were talking with the whole time. And as soon as they had their eyes open and they recognized him, boom! He disappears. How cool would that be? Right in front of them, he's gone. Can you imagine? How do you put into words all of those emotions? But what is it these two disciples instantly do? It's the end of the day. They had a long walk to Emmaus. So they finished eating their supper. They settled in for the evening. They said, first thing in the morning, we'll grab a coffee. We'll head back and tell the disciples. Thank you, Arnold. What did they do? It didn't matter how late it was. It didn't matter how tired they were. It didn't matter how far back to Jerusalem it was. They were heading back to tell the disciples. They arrived in the middle of the night sometime because it was late when they left. Sometime in the night they arrived there. When they got to the place the disciples were staying, they woke them up. Look at verse 13, would you? These two disciples returned and reported it to the rest. What does it say? But they did not believe them either. We're talking about the disciples. They did not believe them either. Can I just ask you a question? Just correct me if I'm wrong. Faith comes by hearing. Yes? What happened? They heard from an eyewitness. They heard from two disciples. Faith is supposed to come by hearing. Can you imagine being one of those two disciples, telling them what happened? Telling them on the road, telling them what he was saying about the prophets, telling them about breaking the bread, and they look at you and go, we don't believe you. We don't believe you. What do you mean you don't believe me? We were there, we saw it, we talked. You know, it wasn't until Jesus showed up in the room himself, doors and windows locked, all of a sudden Jesus standing in their midst, that when he's there and when he's talking to them, the Bible says, they finally believe. Though some still don't. Except for Thomas. He wasn't there with them when Jesus showed up. It wasn't until a week later when he was with them. They were all together again after a week of Thomas hearing from Mary. us to look at two things before we get to where we're going today. Can I ask you, why do you think it is so difficult? Why do you think it was so difficult for them to believe in the Lord? Why was it so difficult? We sing a song in worship in the church here, and Zach alluded it. We didn't sing it today, but it goes, I'm not moved by what I see. I'm not moved by what I feel. Do we sing that song? You know what I'm talking about, right? How does it go? I'm not. How does that song go? Yeah? No, that's one of them. But the other one is, I'm not going to be driven by what I see. Which one is that one? Yeah, how does that bridge go? Oh, yeah. Not going to live by what I see. Not going to live by what I feel, right? Yeah, that's what it is. We sing that. Just so you know. But can I ask you a question? Are there times when the enemy uses what we see and how we feel to battle against believing what we are? Are there times? I want you to get this. The Holy Spirit has to help you with this, but I want you to get this. Think about this. What were the last images those disciples had of Jesus? What were the last images in their mind? They all knew he died. We know that John at least was at the cross when he died. They all saw or knew that he had been beaten and whipped beyond human recognition. They all saw or knew that he had been wrapped up quickly and put into the tomb and had been sealed before the Sabbath. What they saw was planted inside of them as truth. Would you hear this? What they saw, I saw it. That's the last thing I saw. What I see is real. You ever said that? What I see is real. Let's talk about what I feel. Again in the garden when he was arrested and they all fled, Peter denied him three times and we know that he was absolutely overcome. He was condemned to death, and interesting, that was enough to move Judas to throw the money back and go hang himself. He was crucified, he died. This was their Jesus. This was their Messiah. This was their future. This was supposed to be the start of something great in their life. They were on the ground floor of a new movement that was going to change everything. But after his death, it also meant the death of their vision. Can I ask you a question? Were they overcome with grief? You bet they were. Were they missing him deeply? You bet they were. Were they afraid and terrified, not knowing the future? You bet they were. Was it, what are we going to do now? You bet they were. Look how the Holy Spirit describes them in verse 10. When Mary ran back from the tomb, it says they were mourning and weeping. That is how they were feeling. Can I ask you? Before you answer, I'm setting you up. Can I ask you, were their feelings real? Could they trust their feelings? Were their feelings telling them the truth? Just make the statement to you, there are a pile in the body of Christ who believe their feelings more than they believe the truth. They're called feeling-led believers. What they saw kept them from believing, and what they felt is the same in our lives to keep us from believing what we see and what we feel. I want us to see one more thing. Jesus rebuked them for not believing what the others told them, right? That's what he rebuked them for. He said, Mary told you, you didn't believe. The two disciples ran back all night, you didn't believe. Thomas, the ten told you and you didn't believe. They told you verse 40. I want you to see this and you know this story. Just put your eyes on Luke chapter 8. We know the story incredibly well. We've been preached on it for 2,000 years. A man by the name of Jairus came to Jesus. He had a 12-year-old little girl. The little girl was sick. He had the faith to believe the reports about Jesus. He believed that if Jesus came and prayed for his little girl, that his little girl would be healed. He had heard enough that he knew Jesus was a healer. So what did he do? He goes, gets Jesus, tells him. Jesus goes, let's go. They're heading to Jairus' house. And on their way, as they were going, what happened? We know. A woman with an issue of blood. giving them false hope. Excuse me, sir. You are no longer welcome in this room. Chaplain, you are no longer welcome to come in this room. Your words could kill this young man who's alive and is going to be alive. You are no longer welcome. In-laws, you are no longer welcome in this room. You, nurse, you are no longer welcome in this room. Your words could kill him because he's not dead. Do you know how insane we looked? Right until the machine started moving. Right until he started walking again. Right until he started moving. Right until his eyes began to focus. Right up until he began doing everything they said he would never do. Required. Look what he said. My child. Christ Jesus.